if I hung out with Sammy and we got to know each other and he didn't think I liked him, or he thought I was just hanging out with him because I had to, it would affect his openness. It would affect the way he responded. And the longer we spent time together, it wouldn't have the impact it could have if he thought I loved him. That happens to people in the Lord all the time. There's people that actually believe the Lord just puts up with them. For some reason, he tolerates me. He doesn't tolerate you. He loves you. You're not a mistake waiting to happen unless you believe that, and then you'll bear the fruit of what you think. But if you wake up and actually believe the Spirit of God is in you because he wants to be, and you can live your life in Christ, you will find grace to live your life in Christ. Grace and faith go hand in hand. When you don't release faith, you don't find empowerment. You're saved by grace through faith. No faith, very little evidence of grace in a person's life. Are you with me? But if you'll live by faith and you'll believe this stuff we're about to read, and you'll wake up in the morning and say, thank you that I'm accepted in you, that I have nothing to prove today. I'm already accepted and worthy in your sight because of the blood of Jesus. It's like Jesus took the test for you and he got an A plus, like he's a 4.0 plus, and you have the A plus. So you probably ought to just be a graduate and say, yay. So many people are taking the test, grading their own scores, and their score is their identity. So now they're failing, got a long way to go. God must be disappointed. Shed his blood, died on the cross, forgave me of my sins, and I'm a mess up. I can't never get it right. I have to be letting down the Lord. We've had parents that meant well that told us we broke God's heart or God's angry. The last I looked, he's not angry. I haven't found a scripture in the New Testament that tells me he's angry at me. Even when I was yet a sinner, grace was coming greater. And mercy was here to triumph over what I deserved. Like, I can't find a scripture that tells me he's angry. Amen. Now, you read the Old Testament and don't understand the New Covenant, you'll think God's a schizophrenic. But he's not. It's just the whole evidence of life apart from him and no covenant and no blood of Jesus. You got to understand the whole focal point of the Bible from beginning to end is Christ. He's prophesied in the beginning as the capital S-E-D-E-D, the seed. The whole rest is life apart from him, but yet he's there and he shows up. He's the rock where the water poured forth. He was the bread that was fallen. He was the cloud by day and the fire by night. Like, it was Christ. He's there. He's all through. If you look for him, you'll see him. But it was life apart from him with no covenant. And then he shows up, and now it's the Gospels. It's Jesus on the earth, and then he dies and raises again. And now you got all these letters to his now new covenant, New Testament church, the body of Christ, which literally means the embodiment of him. See, we're called to be the expression of Christ. That's why we walk in love. That's why we show mercy. That's why we're peacemakers. That's why we're not frustrated and got attitude and driven by pride and competitiveness and discouragement. It's not cool to go to church and not be her. I'm not being mean. It's convicting. Come on. Christ in me is the only hope of revealing God. Isn't that amazing? The Christ in me. You ought to take that personal, the Christ in you. No wonder I've been so driven. No wonder so much has happened in my life. No wonder I've made so many unfortunate choices. No wonder I've been driven. Wow. This thing, this lie is trying to keep me from ever becoming the very reason I'm here. But his love never failed, and his mercy triumphs over judgment, and his grace is sufficient. And he's an unchangeable, amazing God. And the whole time I'm living dysfunctional, he's going, you don't even know who you are. That ain't you. I know you better than that. I know what I made you for. I know what you can be. I know what you'll look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered. And he just keeps drawing me to him. He's not saying I've had enough. I'm frustrated with you. You disgust me. Again, really, serious, what? Lord, we've been taught that that's the Lord. But when I look at the cross, it can't be the Lord, or Jesus isn't hanging there. I don't deserve that. If the Lord sees me any other way than how he sees me, Jesus isn't hanging on the cross. This is not, that's amazing. This cross, Jesus. So push him back and put him on the cross. This is not what he's saying. He's not saying, I hope you're satisfied now. I hope you see what your willfulness and sin has done to me. Look what your own hands have done to me. I gave everything. Are you about to give anything? That's how people use the cross to preach. Here's what the cross is saying. I love you. I know who you are. I'm glad to be here and pay the price to redeem the truth about your lives. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me because I love you. You're so much more than you realize. I've known you from the beginning. You're worth my life. I want to put my life in you. Would you come unto me? I'll give you rest. Don't labor. Don't be heavy laden anymore. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I love you. That's the cross. Something I get excited over. Because I lived till I was 33 and had no clue, but I went to church a lot growing up. And nobody told me this stuff. And then I got saved at work, not at church, in an aisle all alone. God came and met me there. And I have never been the same. I don't know how I could be the same. I started reading this book because I wanted to. I used to not want to because I was told I should. Just being honest. I'm being honest. I was told I should, so I didn't want to because I should. I ought to. I need to. Whatever. Well, I don't understand it. Now I could not get enough. Now I wanted to know him. I was saved 3 days. 3 days. You don't have to totally believe this. I'm just going to share my conviction. I was saved 3 days and I heard the Lord speaking to my heart in English. It was like we were having a conversation. It was overwhelming. 3 days saved. I mean, God's speaking to me, telling me he's going to put revelations of his love in me and righteousness, and that I'm going to speak to his people. And I'm like, what? I got no education. I breezed through city schools just to get through. They lowered the curriculum to get us through like cattle. And I just breezed through. Never went to college, working in a warehouse. God's telling me I'm going to speak to his people. I'm like, I'm not even relating. I'm not going, what? Wow. I'm like, I don't even know what that could mean. And here's what he said. However, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, only ever read your Bible to know me, and only ever speak out of who I am in your life, and that'll carry weight. And I've been faithful to do that for 27 years. I found that I was preaching in churches, Bishop, when I was 9 months saved. I was getting invited to be the guest speaker in churches, and I wasn't a year old yet. I didn't have my cake with the one candle yet. Never had been to Bible school. And churches saw Christ in me and said, would you come and pour out your heart? And God had me standing in front of his people. And all I ever had done was read my Bible to know him. And I always had plenty to say. Are you with me? My accountant's assistant, we just picked our taxes up, my wife and I. She cries every time we go. She said, you get me crying every time you come. She was so funny. She's just crying because we were talking Jesus. But guess why she was crying? Because in our conversation, it came up. She found out that my son watches me on YouTube. My wife watches me on YouTube. My mother-in-law and her sisters, my whole family, they watch me on YouTube. It seems so funny. I live with them all. I'm dad. I'm husband. They watch me on YouTube. She lost it and started crying and said, I can't see a more beautiful testimony that they know your life. They wouldn't watch you on YouTube if they didn't know your life. Like the fact that your own son at 32 years old is watching his dad on YouTube when he was in his teens, he would avoid me like the plague. And now he's 32 and he's watching me on YouTube, mowing his grass, crying, calling me repentant and making peace over things and confessing things about his life and growing in God and getting convicted. And I'm like, what? I come home and my wife says, man, she said, I've been watching you this weekend. Oh my gosh, honey. And she was just telling me stuff. Her mom is 82. She has called me in the past and asked me questions and asked for advice, my mother-in-law. I don't know about you, but if I was living outside of what you're hearing me preach, they probably wouldn't be watching me. And she probably wouldn't be calling for advice. So it made the accountant assistant cry. She said, it's the most beautiful testimony. And she was just crying. Because I'm not just a preacher. I'm not just charismatic. I live Christ. And my family knows it. You get it? That's what's wrong with me. I live Christ. Now, don't be afraid you'll get like me. Don't let that back you off. Just let me be me. You be you. But be in Christ. If this gospel's preached clear, it sounds too good to be true. It sounds like a Disney story, but it's real. We got this amazing God that nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Jesus, King Jesus, he came to his own and his own knew him not. That's how bad the fall was. That truth stood in front of men for years and they couldn't hear his words to where they killed him for what he said. That's deception. Now there's a reason for that. They weren't listening for what he was saying. They were listening for what they didn't agree with. And it shielded them from hearing. That's why he kept crying out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You don't want to screen your understanding with the wrong things. Who knows that in church culture, when Jesus was on the earth, they had their feasts, they had their temple, they had their garments, they had their traditions, their rituals, actually lots of it, right? But they didn't know him. And when he called God his father in John 5, that was trouble. He called God his father in John 5. They already wanted to kill him because he healed on the Sabbath. Now he called God his father, said he's always working, etc. And now they're infuriated. They're like, it's bad enough this dude is in here healing up on the Sabbath. But now he's saying God's his father. Why was it so offensive? It says in John 5, therefore making himself equal with God, meaning we're one. It was so foreign to religion, to their structured stuff they were doing, their works, their stuff, that God wasn't intimate. To call God so far from who he was in their minds and hearts that when a man said God was his father, it was worth death. Now you think with me on that. It says they wanted to kill him all the more because he called God his father, therefore making himself equal with God, meaning you're from him. When they asked Jesus how to pray, what did he say? When you pray, pray saying, our Father. What's he saying? Guys, you don't understand this. He ain't only my father. He's your father too. And he's always been, and it's time to get to know him. I mean, it's right in their prayer. Our Father. What's he doing? Getting them acclimated. He's already purposing to make the tree good. As a man thinketh, so he is. He's already trying to identify with where we came from. He says stuff like in Matthew 23:9, call no man on earth your father. That word father, it means to come forth from. It's the same word as sire, to come forth from. Call no man on earth your father because you only came forth from one. Yes, we have natural dads, whether we know them or not. He's not saying you're sinning on Father's Day if you send your dad a card. What he's saying is don't limit, identify, or regulate your life through natural hereditary means. Don't people get busted up by their natural story? Don't people let their heart get hard for 35, 40 years because of their natural dad? Never forgive, never forget, and never move on. Aren't they 40 years old and they still have a story that justifies their expression and it's somebody's fault? That's the wrong potter. You've been letting that thing potter you your whole life and you're finding your identity through dysfunction. And the people that are supposed to love you don't love you, so you believe you're not lovable? And the whole time Christ is crucified, crying out to you to come back to the Father? See, we find our identity in every other place but Him. We're looking for love this way, and we've got it. We're looking for the right person. We're looking for somebody that won't let me down. We're setting our heart up to be disappointed constantly because we're always putting our trust and affections on one another. It's a paradox to me that you're not to trust in any flesh, but yet we're all supposed to live trustable. But yet you're not to put your trust in any man, but yet we're all to live trustable. If I get to meet this man and know him and get a relationship with him, and all of a sudden I find he's not trustable in an area that I thought he should be, and I let that hurt my heart and affect the way I see him, and now when I talk to him, it's only because I'm disappointed, not because I value him. I don't even have authority in God to reach him. Because it ain't about setting people straight. It's about loving them to the truth.
Amen.
And if all I need is Bishop Chuck to walk a straight line, or he's Are you with me? Being right can make you very wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Being righteous is where God lives. And there's a difference. So I don't put my trust in him, but he's called to live trustable and likewise.
You get it?
I don't find my identity through my relationships. I have healthy relationships because I found my identity through Christ. If I wake up and need you to love me, I set you up to break my heart and disappoint me, and I'm only as good as you're doing me. And now you're my reason for the way I am, and you've just become Lord of my life, and I don't even realize it. How's that for straight talk? How many of us have made other people the reason we're the way we are, whatever that is? And we all have a heartbreak story. And a person that was supposed to be and promised and said, and after three people in, now we can't even trust people anymore. Now our hearts are jaded and hard. It's because we've been trusting and looking and believing in the wrong things. I'm going to make a strong statement. I could back it up with scripture. This Colossians book is amazing. You'll never know who you are except through Jesus Christ. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. You're complete in him. You're fulfilled in him. You're found in him. And you live your life in him. The Bible actually says in Colossians, you live through him. That's intimate. That means the knowledge and truth of who he is and what he accomplishes is where I find me and finally find me. And now I live through that place. It swallows up insecurity. It swallows up identity crisis. It swallows up the works of the flesh. It swallows up everything that was unproductive in my life. All of a sudden, I'm not in the fear of man. I'm not self-conscious. That's why I come across the way I do. Try not to be overwhelming with it. Some people say it's intimidating. It's not intimidating. I'm not a mean guy. I'm not some big, strong guy that can knock you out. But I will cut you with this sword. It's not about macho. Who cares? So, you tell your boss off and you come home like a peacock. And your wife says, how was your day? My day was amazing. Well, what happened? I finally gave that boss a piece of my mind. Okay.
Yay.
Now the world's a better place. Like, what? But it feels so awesome. It's so shallow. It's so hollow. It's so nothing. And yet it's so much in that moment because we have such a low identity. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in the city, man. So actually, I have been a fighter in my life just to survive in the city. So you fight in the city, you could have two black eyes, and you could have a busted lip. But if you thought he looked worse, it was a good fight. You like, bring it on, I'll take him again. He don't want no piece of me, and you can barely see or talk. Yeah? It's just so shallow. You're not called to give the boss a piece of your mind. You're called to give your boss Christ. And in the end of time, that's what we're all going to answer for. Did we reveal Christ in the moments of our life? Did we reveal Christ? Or did we reveal our flesh? Our wants, our needs, our disappointment, our frustrations, our logic. Or did we reveal Christ? When we were done wrong, did we live done wrong? Or did we overcome evil with good? When we were cheated, did we live cheated? Or did we live like we've been done so right? Come on, when I see Jesus, that's all I see. All I see is Jesus loving in the midst of everybody, even his own people forsaking him and bolting on him. And he never changed. Men had no power to change love. People say, well, that was Jesus. No, it was love. If you make it that was Jesus, then you just make him a special one that's unattainable that you can't follow. But he actually said, follow me. He humbled himself and came as a bondservant to men. He laid down his glory, made himself of no reputation. He had to be anointed by God and empowered by Holy Spirit. Why? Because if I follow him as God, I never could. But if I follow him as a man anointed by God, I'm in. That's amazing. That's not taking away Jesus' deity. That's showing how humble he is and how loving he is, that he did what it took, that a man lost it and a man restored it. So let's step into an unbreakable covenant and follow him. Now is not the day. And in case you haven't realized, now is not the day to be disappointed. No matter what's going on, it's time to have faith in him. We've all had trials. I've been living this way for 27 years. People that know me, they know me this way. Every time they see me, they see me this way. I tell people I'm probably going to get worse because I'm going to know him more. So whenever you see me, I'll be like this or worse. Amen. When did you guys see me last? A year ago? Was I this way? Yeah. You think I'm worse? Yeah. But I was this way. You ain't gonna catch me any other way. Was I this way the last time you saw me? Yeah? Yeah? Not quite this bad? It's all about knowing him. It's all about relationship. Watch this. My point in that was, we all go through things. Don't think that we're a certain way because we have it made and don't have trials. I already told you my wife had trouble for 8 years with her identity. That's enough to wreck most people. Most marriages don't last 8 months, let alone 8 years. Be honest. Not condemning. I'm just being real. In those situations. Yeah? You got people doing wrong things. You got people doing stuff you knew they'd never do. You got best friends making mistakes. I could tell you some stuff that we've walked through. How does any of that change the truth of him? Why do I let that? People say, well, I don't go to church anymore because people are just moving. And your heart gets so hard. What you're saying is I have no relationship with God. Happens to me on airplanes all the time. They give me the I don't go to church story all the time. Well, I used to go. I say, wow, so you had some kind of situation. And now you don't go. But unfortunately, your heart's hard because of that. And you don't have any relationship with the Lord. So now you're away from him. It's crazy, amazing how convicting it gets. Now I've seen people cry on airplanes a lot. I go right for the jugular, the spiritual jugular. You sever it, they bleed out, and then you put them back together. No, I'm serious. I've had people cry hysterically on airplanes. It's fun. The worst one I ever had is a lady, she's crying so hard the flight attendant came to move her because she thought I was annoying. She thought I was bothering her. The trouble is I had a word of knowledge and I shared where her convictions were, and it was her mother just told her that and she was losing it, and now I told her that on a plane, a total stranger. Now she's sitting there. I mean, I look like a cartoon person with the tears pouring out. Flight attendant comes, she says, ma'am, I'm going to move your seat. She looks at me with a stinky eye. And I'm just like, because I can't defend myself. If I'm a blessing, she has to bear witness. I'm not going to bear witness to myself. I'm not going to try to do what I'm doing. I just smiled. Flight attendant, she said, no, I'm fine. She said, ma'am, you don't look fine. I have a seat right up front. I can move you to. No, I'm staying here. I'm okay. She's trying to pull herself together. And I'm like, Lord, are you serious? I get this word of knowledge for her that's off the hook. I could say it to 1,000 people and they look at me cockeyed, but I said it to her. I looked at her and I said, honey, I need to tell you one more thing. And she was almost like, oh no. She looked, I said, I need you to look at me. And she looked like, what? She's trembling. She's barely recovered. It didn't even seem fair. I looked her right in the eyes and I said, Crohn's disease is no match for the blood of Jesus Christ. She's so suffering from it. Her bag is full of meds. And I have no idea, except I know, but I don't know, but I know. You can say that to 1,000 people, and they look at you like, okay. But I said it to her, and you should have saw that. I mean, it was dramatic, bad, ugly. I look up, and here comes the lady. She's coming to rescue the girl that doesn't need rescue. She said, that's it. Ma'am, I'm moving your seat. You come with me. And she's gathering her things. She arm hooked me. The lady arm hooked me. She was a light-skinned lady. She looked like she had maybe a black and Caucasian parent. Her hair was amazing. It was big. She had it combed out. I mean, it was looked like a 70s afro, but it wasn't solid. It was just big. Smelled so good. How do I know? Because she buried me in it. She hooked my arm and laid her head on my chest, and my whole face disappeared in her hair. No, I'm not joking. And it smelled so good. I was in there going, man. I was just buried in the middle of her hair. And she's hugging me with her head on my chest like she's my daughter. And she's got my arm hooked, and she told the lady, I am not going anywhere. This man is so helping me. Now that's what I needed, her to bear witness. Because if I'm a blessing, somebody ought to say. If I'm irritating you, you probably ought to say. And the lady said, excuse me? She said, he's so helping me. So I came out from the hair. I said, hey ma'am, I'm so sorry about all this and the misunderstanding. It's the Lord. He gave me some words for her. He showed me she had Crohn's. Really? And then that's how you get to minister to a flight attendant. Because now she's moved, and a lot of times the Lord will say, in fact, you have, and this is going on, and in fact, the side of your right foot, because you're on your feet all the time, and it's your right foot, it's on the inside. It's a tendon or something. And it just never ends. Why? I don't have issues. My heart's not all bottled up with unforgiveness. I'm not overwhelmed with care. I didn't wake up, and it's not all about me this morning. And how I feel and what I need from you.
So I'm going to have the time of my life. And tomorrow's going to be the same way. And there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. You can either love it or get mad at it. But you can't do anything about it. Because I got over me 27 years ago.
And I got in him. Are you with me? He told me a long time ago, he said, if you become one with my heart, you're in. I can tell myself anything. You become one with my heart, you're in. I'll show you anything, because you'll never respond like a man. You'll respond like me. I've been in public where he showed me the relative that violated the girl. Sensitive, crazy, deep, sensitive stuff. And you pull them aside and say, listen, I realize you're Uncle Tommy. How do you know? Shh. Jesus knows everything, honey. You've been broken ever since. And what he did was wrong. But you got to, it's okay. Come here. I love you so much. And he'll trust you with stuff. Because you won't judge people and stereotype people. You'll just love them to freedom. I don't know about you, but I want that in my life, right? Yeah, I want that. You want that too, whether you realize it or not. And don't write it off just on sheer gifting and say, well, you're specially gifted. We're all gifted to live in him. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. I'm just telling you some cool stories, but I'm telling you faith is possible for the room. Are you with me? Because if I was boasting in me right now and telling you something you couldn't have, why would you even sit here and listen? Just go home. Because I don't need that kind of weird focus and attention. I flew down here, waved the offering, just to make a loud statement that I'm here for the right reasons, trusting somebody will believe something I'm saying, and let it become the fruit of your life. And it's free. The only thing it costs you is you. What a small price to pay. Why is it so hard to give back what we were never created to be? Why is it so hard to give back the lie in exchange for the truth? Why do we covet what we were never intended to be? Why do we hold on to the fall of man and the wisdom of the world in the name of rightness and all that stuff and logic? Why don't we just go after Jesus unabandoned? Why don't we just surrender?